Recording. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. I give you my peace. Let's open in prayer. Father, we come before you and we bow our hearts and we say thank you for allowing us to come together as fellow teammates, as guardians, as friends, as your children. As we sat at your feet this morning, Father, many emotions swept over our heart because we just we're finished with the service for the departed, and yet we could still see all the souls that were invited even to this service today surrounding all of us. The work never ends, it doesn't stop. And for us, though, Father, we have times where we can change our minds and do other things. That does not stop in eternity, and your work does not stop. We're thankful that you are going to join us this evening hour. We are excited to talk with our friends here and share the evening. Look at the hearts, the cares, and concerns. Please give us the strength to bear what it is that we are to carry in our life, but also, Father, bless everybody so that we can prosper and be the guardians that you need us to be. We extend an invitation to eternity. They are also welcome to join us. And we pray, Father, for anything we've forgotten that you'll cover it and know that we love you. Please hear us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. I took Father's message on Friday, and it's incredibly short, which Father is not known for his brevity when it comes to our team meetings, but here it is. My dear guardians, it certainly has been an eventful year. As we approach the holiday season, I wanted to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a very merry, sorry, Happy Christmas and a blessed New Year filled with my love and peace for you and your families. Please enjoy the season and do not let the drama of this world interfere with this festive time. Come January, we will start anew, and I will share more of the future with you. Until then, please know that we love you. And
Wow, you're short.
yeah, kind of looked at me and went, and
Yeah.
that's it. So Trisus is under the weather. But he's willing to share. Rick was sealed. He did not have to quit his job. His
That's
boss let him
awesome.
take the morning off. So he wanted to share what he saw at Rick's sealing.
Can you
Trisus.
hear me?
We can
Can
hear
you hear me?
you.
Great. So the church was packed. There were two babies and Rick being sealed. It was really great to see the apostle and our district elder. I hadn't been to church since April, but I hadn't seen either of them in almost 2 years. So when he walked up, I'm sitting right there in the aisle and he kind of nudged me as he walked by. I was like, that's cool. Love when district leaders do that to you. But the service was fantastic. Rick was just glowing and very excited. Like Trilin said, he did not have to quit his job. In fact, he told his boss he was going to be late. He didn't even say, hey, can I? He just said, I'll be showing up late because I'm becoming a member of the Noopstalk Church. So the boy had a little bit of chutzpah. And the boss didn't even quibble. Didn't make, okay, just come in when you can. I saw the Holy Spirit standing behind Rick, and I don't really get to see, but I saw him in his glory standing behind Rick. Father and Jesus were standing behind the altar, grinning ear to ear. It was so cool. He, as the apostle put his hands on the babies and Rick's head, fire came down from heaven, like in a giant pillar, like a bolt of fire, not even a lightning bolt, just to imagine whatever you can. And it hit the top of Rick's head, and it was just amazing. And I was sitting, I couldn't obviously see, but I saw pictures later on, and I could, it was funny. The picture must have been taken right when the Holy Spirit kissed the top of Rick's head. Because Rick's head was tilted slightly back. It was fantastic. Obviously, the Holy Spirit did the same to the two babies, but my goodness, it was such a great thing. He came back with this look on his face, walking down the aisle, just smiling at me. And of course, we congratulated him and then he went right off to work. But my goodness, you know, we hear about the Pentecost and the cloven tongues of fire, but this was quite awesome. It was almost like a version 2.0 Holy Spirit, like boom. It was amazing. And afterwards, the apostle came up to me and said, "It was so good to see me." I said, "It was so good to see you." And what's funny is he had never met Rick before, so he thought one of the dads was Rick. It was quick, and he goes, "No, I'm Rick." He's like, "Oh," so it was wonderful. So I wanted the team to know about that. It was great.
Thank you. I also asked Trisus, he let me know that he was with Jesus for about 2 weeks prior to the service for the pardon. I asked if he could just hit some highlights of things that he was doing.
Yeah, it was interesting. I've gone into the realms of the departed, but never with Jesus himself. I went Tuesday through Friday, both weeks, and destroying other evil and helping people on the Monday right after the services. And then I got Saturday and Sunday off, so to speak, if we ever really get a day off. But the realms were from very normal, like, hey, these people are here, they have to decide what they want to do, all the way down to the deepest, darkest, horrible, horrible guys, horrible. I'll highlight the two darkest realms and then two of the lighter realms. The one realm, Jesus said, you have to guard your soul, guard your heart, your lead will protect your body, but you need to put an extra fog bubble around your heart and be ready for what you will feel. And obviously we're not there, but if you've ever been in the darker realms, it's pretty intense. I wasn't ready. I mean, as much as I thought I'd be ready, I thought I'd be ready. These people were just tearing each other apart. They were clawing at each other and just berating each other and stripping the skin off each other. It was horrible. And and we had to walk through. Jesus said, we only will walk through once. And he goes, and you have to remember there's no time here. He said, so it's going to be a few moments for you, but we will be in this realm for weeks, you know, in the equivalent of, he says, if you could try to not break your mind trying to understand that. And it hurt so much to walk through this realm. And Jesus is right there. I didn't say anything. In fact, he squeezed my hand a couple of times. And he said, we're just walking through. I'm not even going to say anything. We're just walking through. He gave me a few moments after that realm of rest. And then we went into this deepest realm. He said, my father goes to this realm quite a bit. And he said it was the realm of those who have committed a sin against the Holy Spirit. And there was just nothing. I couldn't feel anything. I didn't see anything. I didn't even think we were there until I tried to move. And it was like trying to put your finger through jello, or trying to imagine moving through a wall, like pushing your body up against the wall. And Jesus said, there are a few souls here, a little over a dozen in this realm. And I said, I don't know what that means, the sin against the Holy Spirit. And he said, it doesn't matter what they've done. They have to decide to move on. He said, those that were in this realm have moved on to other realms to work on other things. And right towards the end of us walking through this realm, a few souls moved up, but they couldn't even look at us because it was so thick. Like, if you can imagine, I don't know if you've ever been in a cave and like one of those tours and they turn the lights off and you can't see your hand in front of your face. That's how dark this was. And he said, our light is blinding to them. They don't even know what we are, but we want to show them that there's an opportunity to move on. Let me tell you, it took me almost a full day just to recover from that. My chest, it felt like something was pulling the bottom of my heart out of my body. And it took everything just to be able to leave my room later that day. On a lighter note, the next day, Jesus told me to prepare for the intensity of this next realm. And I was ready for the same experience. And we popped in, and it was a realm full of little kids. They ran up, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, it's so good to see you." And I wasn't ready. And he looked at me, he goes, "I didn't see it was going to be a bad intense." And I was like, "You tricked me." So we sat there for a moment, and these kids just clamored all over him. And I said, "What is going on?" And goes, "They need to decide to move on. Plain and simple. You know, this is not a bad realm, but they need to decide." And we spent a few moments there. And then the next realm that day was a realm of adolescence. Again, I don't know why we represent in that time. There's really no life to a soul, but he said these were souls that left in their teens. And again, it wasn't a bad realm. They knew exactly who he was. "Jesus, it's so good to see you." And afterwards, I had so many questions, and he just kind of put his hand up. I'm like, "Okay. All right." He goes, "Just accept where you were and write it down." So I did. I wrote it down. Let me tell you, the 2 days of going down into the depths and then being in realms. And again, I try to temper what I've written down and what I remember going back and trying to explain. And it's amazing the depth of Father's love for every soul, for every soul. And when he says that he wants all man to be saved, or all mankind to be saved, I believe it. And not that I didn't believe it, but to see the souls in these conditions, and then to have Jesus tell me, emissaries will come in and they will explain what they can do to get out. It just blew me away. And again, think about where we're visiting and who we're visiting, and the millions and millions and millions of souls that we don't even know about. But I wanted to share that with the team. And I encourage you, if you have the stamina and the willpower, you know, just sit quietly and ask Jesus if you can go with them to a realm. It's an experience, let me tell you. I'm changed. This service for the departed was a lot different for me. I'm looking at the realms of eternity differently, and they're just here. There's a set of souls that shows up in the parking lot. I don't mention that before. And they just want to say hello and find out where to go. And I, you know, it's amazing. It's just amazing. God's love is just so awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share? I didn't get any emails back from anybody. Anybody have any experience? Don't all talk at once. Take your time. Okay. I had a sobering moment this morning. Priest Q held the service, and then Deacon Veenhoven assisted him. And he talked about Revelations 19:11, the rider on the white horse. And everybody assumes that that's Jesus, and that's me. And I sat in that moment as Father, Jesus, and HS were all pointing at me. And the reality of this whole situation came crashing in around me. And as he was depicting and reading the passage, I saw all of you riding next to me as we were coming into view. And behind us were all the multitudes of the angels that we serve with. And the ironic thing was that the deacon made the statement that they are not coming to destroy mankind. They're coming to destroy evil. And I smiled to myself, because Father had said he was going to be the one that announced me. And that was it. Nobody has any clue. But the reality of our situation is that this is real, that we have had these experiences, that we have these gifts to share with mankind, that we're not like everybody else, and that there are times where you and I probably forget the depth of the responsibility that we carry. And there are times where Father puts you and I in a situation where we sober up and we realize that we have some work to do, that maybe we don't all do the same things at the same time, at the same level, but all of us together as a team are serving eternity, serving Father to the best of our ability. And I thought it was different because he's often said that he was going to announce me, and I thought it was going to be this, you know, big thing because, you know, he's like that, right? No. He's quiet and he's subtle and he's unassuming. And I sat in that moment, and my whole perspective of my own life changed. My appreciation of all of you got deeper. And I saw the three of them in a different light than I've seen them before. And eternity, too, grew closer to me than I felt before. So we are open now and we're ready to move forward. And Father is giving us the holiday season to enjoy our family, to focus on the things that are important, which are family, which are our faith, which is Him. And then come January, we're going to get right back into the thick of things. And He's going to share with us more details of what it is that's coming. We have, the election is over. And part of me is, I have mixed emotions for the simple fact that we're aware of the fact that the United States is going to fall at some point. I automatically assumed it was because a Democrat was going to be in office, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
It can fall if there's a Republican in office. It really can. It doesn't matter. But you and I need to focus on everything except that. That's why Father keeps prefacing, don't get caught up in the drama of this world. We're not going to get involved with any of that stuff. We don't need to. And if you've noticed the last 6 months or so, it's been more of a focus for you and I to care about eternity than it was to care about other things on this earth, or to be doing energy healings or things like that. I know that some of you have had conversations about that, but for me, most of my focus was in eternity. It was working there nonchalantly, just kind of being there with Jesus as Christ has brought out his experiences. I've had the same kind of experiences, and I hope that everybody has that opportunity to make the time to actually serve in that capacity if you feel the prompting to do so. Father did prompt me to, again, invite everybody to go and see him. When we sit in the service, we receive his word. But when you and I sit in front of him and we sit on his lap, then he gives us more gifts. And he is like a proud father that's wanting to give us more and then reveal more. When I was a kid, I remember the apostle saying that once we're all in the kingdom of heaven, Father's going to show us something new every day. And I thought to myself, good grief, every day? Is he going to run out of things to show us? No, he has been around before time began, stacking up all these things that he wants you and I to share in. And all we have to do is stay faithful. And he's willing to share all of that with us, which, you know, why us, right?
Yeah.
Because Satan reminds us constantly of how horrible we are, of the mistakes we make, of the sinning that we do. And Father quietly raises his hand and tells him to shut up. He forgave us. I didn't think this was going to be a long fellowship tonight. I didn't feel that everybody was going to have things to say. I actually had someone else scheduled to hold this, but then I thought, no, I'll hold it. So I now know why, because I just wanted to share those things with you guys and let you know that I love you very much. And I appreciate everything that everybody does. I don't know if anybody has anything else that they'd like to share, or sparked came up, or some soul you saved.
Yeah, I can share some stuff. I'll just share. So we talked about Uncle Marinus. I know that I sent you that text, but I don't know if I said anything in our call. Well, yeah, it wouldn't be his best.
Tell him who he is.
Yeah, so Shepard Dunsey, everybody knows him, and in fact, Susan does now too. We showed a picture, and she remembered him, or I think Tom will. But he is Cindy's uncle, married to Aunt Jeannie, who was her dad's sister. Catherine and Joel Phelps and Aaron, other children. He was the shepherd over, I think, seven or eight congregations in Michigan. And he had esophageal cancer, and he didn't. He just kept getting worse.
Yeah.
Anyway, he every single morning would sit in his chair in his office. He had a comfortable chair for 2 hours, and he would meditate and pray. And he prayed for everyone he knew. Everyone. I mean, it's 2 hours. And when he, the first time he ever told me that, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I could never do that. Father, I hope you don't expect me to do that. Please, I can't do that. But wonderful man, strong faith, unbelievable. Well, as soon as I found out, it was Friday. And Friday just came, and I was working. And after Cindy told me, I yelled no. And then I remembered that I hadn't even grounded for the day. And it was like, so I just grounded, went to see Father. And as soon as I went to see him, I saw Uncle Marinus there.
Very cool.
He said, here is one of my jewels. And it was just, and Uncle Marinus is just standing there humbly. But you know, we hear that when we pass, we're judged. We go before Father and Jesus. When and we never really think about that, and we never knew it long ago. We just thought, well, we go to the place that we prepared for ourselves. But we're judged. We stand before them, and he stood there, and just and he was, and it's so beautiful that Father said, "This is one of my jewels." He just
He
a man
was.
of
Yeah.
faith. He was a jewel.
Yes, he was.
And he would rather talk about his faith than anything else. It always came around to that. And he always wanted to talk to you. And he's one of the few people that knew I was a guardian. And I would tell him experiences. And we talk about experiences, Jim, that you had. And he said, yeah. Know, he just believed it and knew. So that was really
Wow.
he was our human Jesus. He was our teacher, and he was good at it.
My first experience with him, he was at a fellowship at the Waters house, and Hugh kept telling him, you just need to have a conversation. And this was when all the drama was going on and all the lies were going on about me and all the crap that I was doing in the Kalamazoo area. And I sat down with him and we talked for about an hour. And at the end of that, he looked at me and he goes, you're not saying anything that isn't apostolic. And I said, that's not why we're here. We're not here to work against the church. We're here to bring people closer to our Heavenly Father and get a better relationship with him. And he goes, I can see that. And that's always touched my heart. He was a good one. Father's always
Wow.
taking the good ones and leaving us here.
But look at the work he can do now that he's free of his body,
Very
what he
much.
loves to do. I mean, we were blessed to have him as long as we did.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was my surrogate dad. It's all right, though. He's in a better place. We know that.
A sweetheart.
Yep. Maybe I'm just getting old and tough.
That's okay too.
So, you know, we all pray for the souls in eternity and the people that we hear about that passed and all of that. And I had an experience when in service for the departed. When the souls, wait a minute, was it service? It was service for the departed. It was with the chief apostle. Was that service for the departed? No, it wasn't. It was when we were the chief apostle's service. During that service, I had an experience. I remembered that when I was a proxy, I was just in awe and I was very, you know, humbled by it, but I didn't see anything and I didn't feel anything. I was just mm-hmm. there. And I'm glad I didn't feel anything because I probably would have lost it.
Mm.
But I thought about that when the souls were being served Holy Communion. And then all of a sudden I just saw everyone receiving Holy Communion through them. It was like just a blur. And every once in a while, some would look at me. And I wondered why. The Father said that those are the ones that you pray for. And you never really think about that. It's not like, you know, we have all collectively prayed for millions, probably. I mean, the people that we know aren't millions, but it's thousands of the people that over our whole, I started praying in 1983 for the souls and the departed. I maybe did it as a child, but I didn't. I don't know if I did. But when my dad died, Diane's dad died, we started praying right then. And we would pray for, we would keep these lists of people, hundreds of them. And we just did that every year. But it was such a beautiful experience. And the thing that it taught me was our love does matter. Our diligence to pray for people does matter. When we watch a YouTube video, we see someone who passed away, we pray for them. Every time we watched something on TV yesterday about the Donner Party and how, you know, it was so terrible for them. And the thing that they're known for is, you know, the cannibalism. And it wasn't very many people who did that, but that's what they're known for. But the hardship that they went through and all of those people. But, you know, there's so many that we've prayed for and they know it and they know us and they're thankful. And so that kind of gives you like a little nudge to say, yes, keep remembering them, keep praying for them and do it every day. But it was a beautiful experience.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Any indication, Trilin, when he's going to reveal you? Come on.
He just did today.
Say it again.
He did it today.
Yeah, that's what he was referring to. It came very subtle.
Oh, sorry. I'm out of it. I get it now. Yep. There's not going to be a big announcement. He just revealed it through the Holy Spirit subtly. I get it.
And those in eternity know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Share one more thing. And this is happened.
We have time.
Yeah. Cindy has been sick with a cold and stuffy.
It's sore throat, my preschool cold for over a week.
And it started coming on for me on Saturday. And last night it got really bad. You can hear it in my voice right now, I think. And I'm at the verge of coughing. And I was scheduled to hold the service. And so I was preparing for service and I got sicker and sicker and sicker last night. And I got to the point where I was thinking, oh, crap. First of all, if I'm sick, I shouldn't be going to church. Second of all, if I'm sick, I shouldn't be serving and holy communion, or, you know, serving holy communion. And I just pleaded with Father when I was down in my office preparing. I said, please, can I just have Sylvia just heal me? Just, I don't care how long, but can you please just take it away so that I don't have to call Dean at the last minute and have him hold a service that I was looking forward to holding? And can you just help me out here? And I woke up this morning, my voice was clear, my nose was clear, there's nothing in my throat, my chest was clear. I mean, I said, Cindy, it's gone. She said, and the service was fine. And as soon as I got home, my voice turned into this. Yeah. Thank you.
I started coughing and sneezing.
It was, I mean, that amazes me. But wow.
Apparently it's a time-lapsed healing.
It was phenomenal.
You better not give it back to me, though, because I had it for a long time.
Well, you know, it just goes to show, I mean, Father moves mountains for his work to be done. And that's what that was. I mean, how else do you expect? I mean, I saw you guys. I didn't have a cold.
No, you sounded perfectly fine.
That's my point. I was terrible last night, and now I'm this. But how cool is that?
That's awesome.
And it's not like we take advantage of it or take it for granted. But it was like, if we need to do something for him, that can happen.
That's right. If you have the faith of mustard, you can make a sandwich.
I never heard that one.
Yeah. I love sandwiches.
Don't cough on me.
That's funny.
Faith of a mustard. Come on. That's funny. I've never heard that one before.
First book of James, 4th chapter.
Yeah.
I've heard that so many times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Not the sandwich part.
Yes. Anybody else?
I want to share just a part of a scene. I've been watching The Chosen, and it's not the one we chatted with earlier, Trilene. It's the one where James and John, the sons of thunder, asked Jesus to be on the right and left hand of him. I don't know if everybody has seen it yet, but they're about to leave, and a bunch of other things are going on in the scene. And Jesus turns, he goes, "You don't know what you're asking." And they all were just blown away, and he walks away. And they said, "Rabbi, what do we do?" And he went into the explanation of him, the Son of God, being tortured, and all the explanation, and it's written in verse, and he will be killed. And he goes, "Is that the cup you want?" And they just were staring at him in like complete and utter disbelief. And they said, "What? I thought you were the Son of God." And they said, "That's going to happen to you?" And that's when he leaves them and goes, "You go to Jerusalem, I'll catch up." And one of the characters said, I'll be with you. But the frustration that the actor shows in the scene of what Jesus must have been thinking, like, "Father, how is this going to work?
Yeah.
How can these men?"
They don't get it.
They don't understand. And I think this year, where Trilene had said Father's message was for eternity, and how frustrated he's been with us over these last few years of just us, you know, I always joke, he's got a permanent flat forehead from him just smacking himself in the forehead. Like, what am I doing? You know, how come they don't get it? And a very powerful scene. I mean, I just was blown away. And I have to think, we're almost like that, where Father's got so much he wants to share, and we're not even doing what he's been asking us this, the, I'm not gonna say the simple part, obviously it's
Right.
not simple, but you know where I'm going.
Little
And
things.
you know, and he said these more to reveal. I'm like, okay, good. All right, we're on track. All right, good. Not that I was worried, but let me tell you, I not that I doubt sometimes on our path, but I think I feel like I'm hindering him because of what I'm not doing or how I'm not understanding. And it's good to know that the message was short and he's looking forward for us to moving forward. So that was a great affirmation for me.
We can't mess this up. He knew when he laid this whole foundation down and he made this plan before he even made Adam and Eve and did everything, he already baked this into the plan that you and I would have moments where we're contemplating things, where we're overwhelmed, where we're questioning everything. And then he saw that you and I would keep moving forward. We're gonna push through it. The doubts are gonna come, but that's okay. Even Jesus doubted. It records once that he said, Father, if you could take that away from me, that'd be great. Father tells me he did it more than just once. Why wouldn't he? He's human. Who would want to go through that? And I even thanked Jesus this morning. And I said, your sacrifice, I really don't think we really value and understand what you really did for us because it's so easy for us to come to Father and go, we're sorry. I'm going to try and do it again. But we do that. And that's Father's love. His love is so simple and we complicate it. And you got to sit, we think there's all these steps you got to go through. And it's not. It's very basic. You got to be baptized and sealed. You got to love him. You got to put an effort forth, right? I mean, that's what the service was this morning. One's taken, one's left behind. Where are we going to fit in? I could say, I've been new apostolic longer than Lauren has, so you better let me in first because I've been here longer,
I've
right?
been married to you.
Yeah,
I need to
that's
get
true.
in
He's going to let her. That's valid. He's taking that into account for sure, right?
All I remember is soon.
Well, that came out in service, and my mom on the way, I was driving her home, and she says to me, I don't think I like that. I was left. But she was, my dad is gone and she is still here. So I said, Mom, it wasn't that way. And she goes, oh, I know. I just had to say that.
It's just such humor. That's funny.
My mom used to ask that question to me all the time. Why did Father take your dad before he took me? And I said, it's real simple, Mom. You haven't learned yet.
Oh, you said
Haven't
that to
learned.
her?
And she'd look at me like, what do you mean?
You have to be self-aware.
What do I mean? You haven't found your perfection level to the point that he would take you. Because he's going to give you the grace you need to reach your perfection, but we have to make the effort to get there. Oh, okay. Well, you let me know when I get there. I'm like, I don't have that responsibility. I go, why don't you stay when he's planning on taking? No. I'm not going to. We just need to do our thing. And I'll gladly step aside and let you.
Hey, just one more thing. I listened to the call from last month, our fellowship, and I realized that I have to do that because while we're sitting here doing this, it's not going in, I'm not remembering it. And when I can listen to it again, then I go, oh my goodness, that's right. We could go into eternity with our loved ones because I didn't remember. And that's just me. I'm old, but I mean, it might be of benefit for us to just do that,
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
And put it in your schedule to do it because I need to put it in my schedule to do it. But it's a benefit because, this was all well and good, but then we're going to forget tomorrow.
Yeah.
But
Doesn't have to refresh.
and I want to take some notes too sometimes, but yes, we have to do it. I think we all kind of spend a lot of time doing things that aren't meaningful. I know I do. Because when I'm done, I want a break, sit in front of the boob tube.
Right.
I haven't heard it called that in a long time.
Well, we're old enough, we can call it that. Right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway. You want to escape reality. There's nothing wrong with wanting to unplug.
Oh, I realize. True.
You know, we need to do that. It's okay. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny because then he'll have some wine and he just tells me, I just like the taste. And then he'll say to me, I got a headache. Well, there you go.
But it never makes me feel good.
No. Nope.
I just get a headache, but I like the taste.
Yes, keep doing
you
it.
You got to switch to a real drink. It's called bourbon, Danny.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
You got to drink water with the wine. That's what I do. Drink a sip of water.
There you go. Awesome.
We have a friend in the family that hooked Ethan up with a for sure cure of a hangover. It's an Italian version of Alka-Seltzer that you can get on Amazon called Baroshi. You take that the night before when you're done drinking and two Advil, and you're perfectly fine the next day.
Wow.
And Ethan swears it works every time.
His friend.
And his friend goes, it sure does.
It sure does. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's called a placebo. You want to feel better.
Well, and believe me, I'm not drinking as much as they are. When you're young, you can do it.
Oh, yeah. It's all good.
And I can only drink, you know, Tito's with Lauren. So, you know.
That's true. A straight shot before we go and have dinner.
Yeah. Well, and then a few more. You know.
Can't complain. We get free entertainment.
This is true. It was a fun time.
Yeah, it was.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, see? We have our memories.
Spring break.
What, did I miss a meeting or something?
No, we're just talking about Dan and Lauren. They sometimes get together and drink some Tito's.
Oh.
And have fun.
And have fun. And Jim and I just get to watch.
Yes.
Yeah, I get it now. Like he would do when I would go out with the group. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's always stories.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's fun though, because it's, you know, it just is.
I'm glad I don't imbibe that much anymore, because some of the stuff I would let out right now, imagine. Yeah, the other day I was walking through hell with Jesus. And people just staring at you like, and then you don't even know what you said, and then you're like trying to recover. Mm-hmm. And what? Yeah, so
it was just a dream. You had a dream.
It was a dream. A dream.
Don't be telling your roommates or your not your roommates, your hallmates that stuff.
Oh, I had the door locked. In fact, that one aide, I had the door locked, and he usually comes by. He goes, "Why is the door locked?" I went, I don't know, people walking in. He goes, "Ooh, what are you doing?" I'm like, "It would blow your head off. You don't want to know." And he already knows. I've been watching The Chosen. And he goes, "I really got to watch it." I went, "Eddie, you got to watch it." And then I told him one scene where he didn't heal the one girl that was killed by the Roman.
Yep.
And he looked at me and he let an expletive out. And I'm like, "Dude," he goes, "I got to watch this." I'm like, "It's because he's a young guy. He's only 22 years old. Smokes a lot of weed. He's got a lot of pain. He won't even share with me, but he shared. But I mean, maybe I can talk to him about that." But he goes, "I'll just lock your door." And I'm like, "You do that." Mm-hmm. So I can't even begin to tell him what, I mean, how do I segue? But using The Chosen will be a good way to bring something.
Put your hand on him and ground the pain out.
Oh, I've done that, and I'm going to do it again tonight. Yes, you have to be careful how, because we're not really supposed to touch
right.
the staff. Do you know what I mean?
Like, just say you want to shake his hand, and that's all you got to do.
All right. I get what you're saying. I will do that. All right.
Yep. Doesn't have to be this grandiose 5-minute touching thing.
Looking into his eyes.
Can I ask a question?
Exactly. Yeah. Please do. Kind of off
subject, maybe. So I went to dinner with a couple of girlfriends the other night, and one of them, she grew up here in Stratford, and she was like forced to go to a Baptist church. And so long story short, growing up that way, she kind of is turned off when it comes to church, because it was basically shoved down her throat and she was made to go and she had to go and it just turned her wrong. And so we were in the car on the way to dinner and we were talking about Rumsel departed. I was going off, man. I was like, just, you know, and she just was like looking at me like, what do you mean? And I'm like, you know, they don't go to heaven. They don't go to hell. There's Rumsel departed. And I'm like, you know, we pray for even people that are murderers. And she's just like, how can you do that? And I'm like, well, why wouldn't I? I'm like, just because they made a choice here on earth, I said, they have to pay for it until they can figure out how to ask forgiveness, how to find God, how to find Jesus, and how to understand the next step that they have to take. I said, so why wouldn't I help them? I'm like, it's not my place to judge them for what they did. I said, it's my place to help them. So we talked about faith, like from all aspects.
Nice.
And then she looked at me and she said, how do you know? She goes, this is the question I want to ask everybody. She goes, how do you know that your faith is the faith when there's so many different faiths and people believe so many different things? And she's like, there's the Baptist, there's the Methodist, there's, she's like, all these different people. How do you know that yours is the one? And I kind of sat there for a moment and I'm like, well, I said, honestly, I hope mine's the one. I said, I don't know if it's the one or not. You know, I mean, I can't tell her like, it's the one, but you know, so I'm like,
Jesus, I
hope
so.
It's the one. I said, I can tell you that the way that I feel, the way that I grow, the way that I learn, the way that I am and who I am and how things happen in my life and how I react. I said, that proves to me and different experiences that I have had. I said, that proves to me and shows me and guides me that the faith that I have chosen is the right faith. And she just kind of like looked at me and then she was like, no wonder you're always so happy. I was like, thank you. But so my question is if someone asked you that question, how would you respond to that?
I have had that question asked me, and I tell them this. All those other churches, read about what the apostles have said in the first church. In my church, we listen to what the apostles are saying now. In our time.
Because I told her, I told her we have living apostles. And I'm like, you know, we have a chief apostle who's the head of the church. I said, we have take communion every Sunday. We have holy sealing. And she just kind of was like.
Yeah, that's.
Say what?
Yeah.
So she, you know, she just was like, I mean, so she asked me that question. And I'm like, you know, I mean, I think I know how to answer it, but.
Come and listen. That's what I tell them to. Come and listen to us.
Sorry, there was a large crash in my living room. I'll be right
back. Oh, carry on.
Oh, no.
We'll hit pause for a moment.
Well, she can't tell her to come and listen because there's no church.
She could have her come to their house and they could listen to a service together.
Sure, that's good.
Just tell her because we're so far away. Would you like to come on a Sunday morning and sit with us?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I think that we used to say too much.
Oh, yeah.
And we scared people away.
For sure.
And I can remember when I was new in the faith, I mean, when I was an adult, young adult, I mean, I said way too much. And it was like, this is the right church. This is the right church. And those others aren't doing it right. And I didn't say it like that, but that's probably how it came across.
Bunch of idiots.
And the point is, God loves everyone. And he hasn't chosen everyone to become his child now to have the opportunity to be the bride. So you don't have to say everything. You just, you know, come and see. And
I told one friend, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I told one friend at the other building, we would argue about church and faith and how God can do this. And I said, do you like how I am, how I treat people, how generally everybody likes me, and that you think that I'm a pretty decent guy? And, you know, I mean, I don't have fights with people. And my general demeanor is positive. He goes, yeah, that usually pisses me off. I said, it's because of my church, because of my faith. I am it. That, believe me, you wouldn't like me. The Ryback that wasn't going to church, you wouldn't like that guy. You know, I am. You're seeing the result of my church and my faith. And he had no idea what I was talking about. None whatsoever. He couldn't equivalate the two. Putting your butt in church, listening to some guy in a suit, versus being nice and being godlike. I don't know how people can't put two and two together like that. But again, I try not to judge. I judge a little, but I try not to, because, you know, if you see a bucket of white paint and there's paint on the wall, but you don't see anybody standing there, but the paint is fresh and there's a bucket and the paint brushes in the bucket, I'm going to assume somebody put some paint on the wall from the bucket. That's how my brain works. So if I'm telling them I'm a nice guy because I go to church, I'm going to assume that's generally the truth. But yeah. It blows me away. And, you know, that's my stumbling block, is where people don't understand. I liken it to when my father would try to tell me something and he would just look at me and he knew I had no idea without I wasn't gathering any details. And he would get frustrated and stop. So I have to use that, talking to people about our faith and God's work, in the same way, where you got to throttle it back and just, like, you know, hey.
They have not been given the ability to understand to the depth that we have. Father didn't lay that in them. That's why.
And that blows me away that he did.
Sure.
With us.
I don't understand trigonometry, and I never will, and I don't care to. It's not my thing.
The thing, though, is we also have to be accepting of it and wanting it and open to it.
Yes.
You know, so if you aren't. No, I can't do math for the life of me. I hope my children are okay with it.
Hi, Mama.
Okay.
I was just going to say, I feel like it also depends on the person that you're talking to and how much information and how you're going to tailor your conversation to them. But then also when people, I don't know, I've been thinking about this for a while, but when people say like what denomination is right or what religion is right or whatever, and yes, we know about our church, the New Apostolic Church, we know all of that, but sometimes our faith isn't necessarily for other people. So they may go other places. But that's okay, because at least they're getting something, and that's like the little seeds that are planted. Mm-hmm. And so then how, like in service today, you know, you have other opportunity, you have that second chance, you have all of that. So maybe because they have that little piece of seeing it somewhere, hearing something somewhere, maybe they'll be more responsive later, because then they'll know, hey, this is what I had, but this is what I could have.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, you hear the word testimony, and I think that we don't, in general, understand what that means. Testimony isn't a history of the New Apostolic Church and everything about the New Apostolic Church. Testimony is, I go to my church because that's where I go to listen to God, to hear his word, to have peace. And but, you know, I'm now making up those words right now, but my point is talking about ourselves. My experience, your experience, in giving them, testifying of your experiences and what you have found. It's a place of peace. It's wonderful. And I can't live without it. If that's all you said to someone. But then the other thing is that we got to be inside saying, Father, help me. Holy Spirit, please. Because when we're put in those situations, we shouldn't be going with something that we've decided. I need to say this when this happens. This is not about that. We already know our faith. It lives in us. And the Holy Spirit's just itching, ready. And our Heavenly Father puts us in front of individuals that he wants to touch. And we let the Holy Spirit say a little or a little bit more. not typically a lot.
No.
Because, and the thing is, you have to realize that where it says in the Bible, the word will not return to the Father void, which means every time the Holy Spirit speaks through us and into a soul, it might not have an effect for 300 years, but then it will. Someone will walk into the realm of that person that you talk to, and they'll say, I'm from this. And then the words come back and they go, I talked to someone and they told me the same thing. It's, you know.
There's,
you know,
go ahead.
A funny video that I was watching from this minister, and I think he's either from somewhere in England or maybe Australia. He's very funny, and he was asked, and I know this is a little different, a little broader with Christianity, but he was asked, you know, why do you believe that Christianity is the way to go when there's all these other beliefs and faiths and things? And he said, well, think of it this way. If you're going down a road and at the end of the road, there's a Y and you don't know which way to go. And there's two guys, one on each road. One's dead and one's alive. Who are you going to ask for directions?
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty funny.
Very funny.
That's quite simple. Yeah.
The only thing I was going to say was there's a fine line between what a child of God is and then what the Bride of Christ is. And what it is this transformation from the student now becoming the teacher. Because the Bride of Christ is going to come back and teach. And you and I are right now, we're the students. We're constantly learning. Father's constantly teaching us. He's constantly training us with the hopes that eventually we'll be able to once teach on a completely different level because he gave us that ability to absorb and understand.
Yes.
If that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
And Danielle, Baptists are pretty judgmental. I mean, I hope I'm not, you know, judging them by saying that, but they absolutely are. And Lauren told me that she saw something on YouTube where people were saying, God, all of our kids are leaving the church. And we've taught them all of these wonderful things and taught them how to love and not judge. And
are you talking about leaving the New Apostolic Church?
No, in general.
Just
leaving the church.
Okay.
And the person who they were talking to said, so you taught them all those things. Of course they're leaving. They're making the right choice. And I didn't get it until I really thought, who judges worse in the world today?
Christians. That's what judges better.
And so when we look at it from that perspective, obviously, we don't want to, and we're learning. I mean, we're being actively taught right now not to judge and to love like Jesus and to become like Jesus. But most Christian faiths are so judgmental. And, you know, I even heard someone on one video, they say, so what do you think about two men being married? It's a sin. Well, they're black and white, bam, you know?
And yeah.
It's just like, but that's judgment. And they don't get it. So I can appreciate it's probably difficult for a lot of people who stopped going to their church because of what it was like. But we can help.
Right.
Well, and that's with her, because the other girl that we were with, she goes to one of the churches here in town, the one that actually we used to go to. But there's a new minister. He's kind of a little more Baptist. He gets a little riled up. And we went once, and Jeremy and I were both like, and there's nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it just,
it's hollow.
It's empty. It's hollow. There's not anything there for us. And so she was with us too. And we were kind of talking about everything. And when she was asking about the faith and how she told us about how she was forced to go, and the other girl with me, she was like, well, she's like, I can tell you one thing. She goes, if you feel some tingling tonight, you're going to be feeling Danielle and my prayers. Her little Southern accent. She was like, because we're awesome. Going to be praying for you. And I'm like, and I loved it. I'm like, and we will. But I also told her, I was like, but just because you choose not to go to church, I was like, doesn't mean that I'm going to look at you a different way. I'm like, that's your choice. I can pray for you. And if you have questions, I will help answer whatever I can. And I told her, I said, and you're always welcome to come watch church at my house. I said, we do every Sunday morning. But I'm
that's
like,
what we were suggesting when you were gone. That's what someone suggested.
Yeah. I already so, talked to her.
There you go.
I was like, y'all come over. Come on.
Well, and it doesn't mean she doesn't have a faith.
Right. Well, she because did say
not
she's
going to the church.
Well, she did kind of say she's more of what is that? Spiritual? Where they don't really believe. What's the A word?
Agnostic.
What?
Atheist?
Kind of more like where she doesn't really believe. But then she would tell us like things that happened to her when she was younger. And she grew up kind of on the rougher side. And the one girl sitting behind me as I was driving, she looked at her and she was like, God was there at that moment. Or she's like, there was an angel at that moment to help you get through that situation. Or you didn't die in that car crash. You know what I mean? Like, and then, of course, her and I both shared experiences of things that happened to us. And we all cried and we laughed and, you know.
There you go.
Very
nice.
Yeah. So it was just, it was like we talked and we shared and we cried and we opened up about things. And it was a whole range of stuff that we talked about, but it was wonderful. And I told Jeremy, I was like, we all felt like we couldn't stop talking. We were together from like, for like 5 hours.
You?
And I don't think we ever stopped talking.
You couldn't stop talking? You?
Okay. I Come did on. So I could listen, but I also talked.
I'm the fat calling the kettle black. I said I wasn't going to talk at all during this meeting.
Yes. That's the best testimony, though. Yeah. That is the best testimony.
Well, and I mean, and the fact that she even looked at me and was like, no wonder you're so happy all the time. I mean, she sees it because she sees who I am as a person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't come in upset and mad. And yet, you know, I mean, I do it with my kids sometimes, but I'm a human, right? But to the extent I'm always on a positive note, and I try to find the positive aspect out of things, and I try to... We got Hot Wheels tracks. Sorry.
Are you getting ready to discipline somebody?
I was going to say, Dad found out those can be used for really good whipping belts.
Mm-hmm. Nah, they're for Hot Wheels.
They are. We have tracks all over the house. We go to the garage, everywhere.
I want to see some pictures, please, because I miss my Hot Wheels.
Oh, I'll send you some. I got a lot of them.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you. We don't have any November birthdays, but again, Atmos, 13th of December. Let's not forget him.
He'll be getting e-cards from me starting tomorrow.
Excellent. We should. We should inundate him. I will send out the schedule for next year's fellowship probably the end of this week. I'll send that out to everybody so you know when the next one is. Tentatively, it's January 12th, but I got to check, you know, when the Super Bowl is, and I don't want to interfere with that.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, so we should
especially if the Lions go. Don't mess with that.
Yes. Mm. Is there anybody that would like to close the fellowship in prayer? Anybody want to volunteer? Anybody? No?
Sure, I can pray.
All right. Ooh. Wonderful.
Kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you as your servants, as your children, as your guardians. And we come to the end of the year. There's so much that's happened. So many decisions that have been made. And so many mistakes that might have been made too. But Father, we come before you and we want to learn from them. And we want to be wiser from them. And remember the mistakes that we have made so that we can make the better decision in the new year. And that we can come in January stronger and ready to go. We know too that we are in a world that is getting darker and darker. But Father, we ask that we may be excited from that, because we know a light shines the brightest when the world is the darkest. And we want to shine for you. Help us with this. Guide our hands, guide our hearts, guide our voices, so that we can be who you want us to be. And too, Father, as the discussion has gone tonight, we also want to, as one of your ministers said, we want to preach the gospel often and, if necessary, use words. We want to live the gospel. We want to live our faith. And that is the best way that we can shine. Help us with this. Bless each and every one here for all that they do. You see all the cares, the concerns, the trials, the tribulations, you have heard all the breakdowns. You have heard all the why me, maybe, or the not again. But you have also strengthened us to be able to carry on when we have said those things, and we say thank you for that. And those are the moments that we also want to become wiser, because we never need to say why me. Let us be able to boast in our storms. Let us be able to boast about our infirmities and be able to come closer to you. We pray again that you bless each and every one here, and that they always may remember who they are, and we may remember who we are, but we may also remember how special we are. We know that Satan only goes after the ones that you love the most and that you see the most potential in. So may we also take pride in that almost, that we are yours. You are with us and you will never leave us. Let us have a great week. Let us have a great rest of the evening. Those who are sick, we pray that they may be healed and they may have health and strength. And also, Heavenly Father, we pray that we may have a wonderful lead up to the Christmas season, and that we can praise you, we can love you, and we can show eternity how great you are and how great Jesus is and HS is, so that we can continue this work and we can make you proud. If there's anything that we've forgotten, we pray that you may cover it. And we ask all these things, if it's in your will, in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're doing that on purpose.